I'm a cadastral drafter two from El Dorado County. I work in the surveyor's office for the last 22 and a half years. I'm one of the original builders of our base map. Prior to that, I worked in the assessor's office for 2.5 years, officially 3.5 years, and I'll get into that, as a cadastral drafter. And prior to that, I worked in Calaveras County for 1 year as a cadastral drafter also. So I know where you're coming from, and I was, because of my background, is why I was put into the GIS team. But so today I'm supposed to be talking about the whole history and how we do an update process of a recorded document to where Julie gets it. And so I'll try to scooch in 22 years in a half an hour or so. So let's get going. Today's topics, I'll talk about the background. Then we had a presentation to the Board of Supervisors, how we got the project started, building the base map, selling the product out to not only the public, but also to other departments, and the conflicts there. Then expansion, what drove us from just being a parcel configuration base map to all the different layers we have today. And then what's current and what we're future working on. Our future really is only about a week long. We actually have a little, in one of our offices, we have a little spinning wheel, and it was like, change the topic, because since the day we started was whatever the Board of Supervisors wanted that day. Mm-hmm. And we had to change and adjust because we've been there 22 years, and I think maybe about 5 of those years, our jobs haven't been threatened to be eliminated. And so priority was satisfying supervisors and things like that. Background. Background was, we had a situation, many of you might know, some of you might not if you're younger. We had the assessor's office would have mapping, and then the planning departments would have their mapping, DOT would have their mapping, permitting would maybe have mapping, and maybe not have mapping, maybe not even have records of APN parents to children, APNs. So it was a big chaos, and everybody was using different base maps, different information. Some were using assessor pages that were 2, 3, 4 years old, and others were using current assessor pages whenever they got out to the system, because it was all by paper. When I started at El Dorado County, the map would be recorded. The next day, the assessor's office cadastral section would get a paper copy of the recorded map. It might be a week, 2 weeks before we get onto Mylar, and then send it back to the recorder's office, who would then scan it, and or we would scan it, but they would get their paper, scan it again, and then put it on their site for other departments to see. So it could be a long process of 2 to 3 weeks or longer. That's just a paper copy of the map. The subdivision, by the time parcel information got into our property system, could be a month or longer. Today, there's instances where I found the base map updated 2 hours after the map's recorded. So we've come a long way. And now Julie and I have been working really fast to subdivisions, getting APNs assigned the same day, and getting them out on the public the next day.
For our website.
Yep. Not, the property system's still not being updated.
Yeah.
But we are at least getting developers and permitting issues off our backs, because they got APN number that we can put address. Our surveyor's office also does the addressing for the county. So I immediately, as soon as Julie signs the APN numbers, I print out the lots and the APN numbers and give them to our addressing person, and she's updating the system that day. So we're getting faster and faster. The goal was eventually to do that in one day. That was what my challenge was 22 years ago. So, it's taken a while. But you'll see why it's taken a while, because When we started out in AutoCAD, and AutoCAD's memory could only handle one assessor page, or one assessor book. And then we had to have separate files for each one. So memory was a big issue at the beginning. But we had, so the county surveyor, I guess my understanding is the county planning department were the first ones that went to the board. The supervisors talking about this new electronic mapping and trying to get the board to buy into it. And then the surveyor was very much into it also, and he had, because of his connections in different departments, had learned about a team in our IT department who was creating a land management system. And he found out about me in the assessor's office because my office manager the year before had asked me, because I had started learning how to customize menus and program AutoCAD, how to start changing from drafting by hand to electronic mapping, and how long and how much I had a whole, I still have it, this whole study. It was supposed to be like $35,000 or anywhere from 3 to 10 years based off how many employees and what costs at that time. And we had only 4,000 assessor pages. I know some of your counties are a lot larger, but that's what our situation was. So he knew we were looking at it. And so they went to the board, and they got approval. The surveyor, there was a battle between the planning and the surveyor who should have control over the GIS. Planning wanted it because they were the first ones to bring it to the board's attention. Surveyor pulled his trump card, which was responsible for any mapping that goes out of the county officially. So they gave it to the surveyor's office. And but there were rumors, and the rumors, these are rumors, I don't want anybody to say that didn't happen, but it's what was the rumors flying around in our county. And that was the rumors against the GIS system was Sacramento County was being set up by ESRI for 5 years, and they still had no GIS to be functional. Contra Costa, I believe it was Contra Costa County, I might be wrong, it's one of the counties in that area. We're supposedly had 15 employees doing mapping, three shifts for 4 years, and still hadn't gotten their base mapped up. We had a situation where the second day I started at El Dorado County, I went to a presentation with my boss by IBM showing this new GIS product, and it was some, they were doing great on their sales presentation and showing how you could do the mapping. They even had routing capabilities for sewer lines also. And they went in and talked about this county in Texas. I think it was Fort Worth or somewhere down there. And they went onto a parcel, they brought in the subdivision map, then they went in on that lot and pulled up the floor plan. And everybody lost it at that point. They go, so you can go in there and sit down in the assessor's office, pull this all up. If you're a burglar, you can know the floor plan of your whole house before you even go there. It's funny because that came up when we went to the board of supervisors to get this GIS started, that someone was concerned because eventually we would be able to go into their bedroom, pull out their dresser drawer and see their underwear. That's how they, it was funny how it came up. And this is some of the confusion. Yeah, we're getting there. So this is some of the confusion that we were talking about. This is just the assessor pages. These are real assessor pages. This one I hope is replaced by now. So the assessor pages, we had combinations through the years. These are old linen pages that we were drawing on. And they're hard to read, and you can see around here and here, you have tie lines all over connecting your parcel IDs. And it was very confusing. And then they at one time decided, forget that, we're too lazy. I could say this before my time. And they just scanned on Mylar the subdivision maps that were recorded. So you had every little thing here, all the deltas and all the curve information, and you couldn't read a thing about it. You can almost barely see where the assessor numbers are here, and the block numbers. But trying to see anything else, forget it. And then, in the, I started in 1990s, early 80s, late 70s, I think.
Yeah, CETA.
We got, our assessor office got this crazy idea to renumber and start numbering books by a 300 series. And they made the blocks ecliptical shaped instead of circles. And they started being free drawers, and that's a pond with a fish jumping out.
That was done by Terry McFeely, who went to Nevada County.
So that was in the 80s.
She hosted in Grass Valley several years ago. She's not in the assessor's office in Nevada County anymore, but...
Because of that?
And this is a typical, what I call, a pretty clean page. This is a pretty clean page that we're drafting by hand. Demonstration what it was recently before we started GIS. But then there was another issue. A big issue was and administrative parcels. And people in the permitting department had no idea how to read assessor page and couldn't tell if it was an admin parcel or not. And they were, for instance, if you look, and it's not all their fault. And I'll take some of the blame here too, because I used to do some of this. If you look in this area right here, these three parcels, which one's the admin parcel there? The problem is you can't tell, and we just found this one like 2 weeks ago, so we still don't know where all the admin parcels are. It's not identified as admin. And this county until Carl...
What is an admin parcel?
Administrative parcel is what we call...
parcels split by TRA.
Parcels split by TRA, multiple polygons that are split by a roadway, but they have the same ATM number. Our large 1200 scale?
Yeah,
1200 scale maps. I don't do scale anymore, so it's hard. We had big sections in mining claims and things, and we would tie, if they were at USA land, we would just tie them all together on this big six section page. And so they were all considered admin because there were multiple polygons. Another thing which this is representing is parcel change requests. Do you guys have that? Or if you have mainly subdivision lots and you own the two together and you only want one tax bill instead of two tax bills, you could come into the assessor's office, fill out a parcel change request form. They would get rid of the old APN numbers, create one APN number so you get one tax bill, and on the map they would put a dashed line. Problem is, they went identifying at put ADM for admin. We put ADM usually for admin next to underneath the parcel number, so we can tell. And this is one we just found, so this is prior to this happening. This one and this one are legal parcels. Their certificate emerges, so. Those dashed lines really shouldn't be there anymore, showing the original parcel configuration from the subdivision, but they are. But this one here is a parcel change request. The only difference is that line's thicker. And so what would happen is, permitting, someone would come in and say, I want to put a house on a piece of property. Permitting wouldn't know it wasn't an administrative parcel. They would offer a building permit on that APN number, and a person would build a house across the boundary, and it's two little lots. And so that was a huge issue. And compounding the issue was the assessor's office at the time did not keep track of administrative parcels like that in their property system. So no one had any clue which were administrative parcels and which weren't off of data and programs. And so GIS took care of that, or pretty much a lot of it. Going back, I'll get more into these issues further down, but I need to keep moving here, I'll be talking all day. So the original project team consisted of the surveyor and one surveyor tech from that office. Planning department had one planner. I was the assessor's office representation because I knew how to program AutoCAD. Department of Transportation provided one engineer, and IT department had a database manager, system administrator, and a programmer for permits, which is COBOL, which no one programs in COBOL anymore. But this was the original team. We were on loan. That's why I said I worked for the assessor's office for 3.5 years officially, but technically I was only there 2.5 years because we were on loan for 1 year. And so the went to the board with this plan. The surveyor did. He had these team members. He had gotten permissions from the different departments for these people to be part of the team. He went to the board. The board approved the project for 1 year and given a task to produce the whole base map in 1 year. Now, Sacramento County had been going for 5 years, nothing showing up. None of us had even heard of Esri at the time. And we were coming with all our different backgrounds from all these different departments. It was fun. So, getting started, the IT, three IT individuals were developing a land management information system in DB2. This was mainly driven for permitting, trying to piece together a property system with planning and permitting to connect all the database programs for property information throughout the county. But there was no spatial connection yet. That's where I came in. On July 1st, I was sat down in the surveyor's office, this big, huge monitor with a program, one seed program for AutoCAD 14, told to build me a base map. That's what I was told. So we had AutoCAD, then we had training, and then we had all the issues that came up with that. First, we started building the base map, and just a second, I need to see something here. Okay, I'll go back here first. Let's tackle some of the issues we had. We had these individuals from planning department, DOT, a surveyor. We had engineers, planners, cartographers. Engineers wanted it accurate to a hundredth of a foot. Planners and cartographers, and we just wanted to paint a pretty picture, which became a thing that was detrimental to us later. That's how most of us think of us now in the county, but it's finally changing. Whether we were doing a projection of NAD California State Planning NAD 27 or NAD 83, DOT won NAD 83, representation. Everybody was passionate about their own departments. They finally came to a resolution that realization that we had to abandon our loyalties to our departments if we were going to make a base map that everybody could use. Most of the people did that. There was one individual who never did. The other thing was whether it's feet versus metric. Metric was coming in by DOT again. They were being told by federal government all their maps had to be metric. They were pushing hard to be metric and engineered. And their thing was we provided three of the PCs for you to start this on. So we were trying to leverage that. And the administrative parcels were not, no one cared about administrative parcels except for me. I was actually ordered not to keep track of them, but since I controlled the base map, I picked a little field that no one saw, and I started identifying. 10 years later, the programmer from the assessor's office, when he was actually able to show expression of appreciation for GIS, he actually came up and thanked me. And now, as say, the permitting, and everybody is really happy about how much information to show. That was a huge issue. When I created my menus, I had 28 layers to pull off every assessor page for every parcel, and to do it in 1 year. I had all these different layers for all my people assisting me, how to identify and draw on. We soon found out within a week we didn't have time. So we also went just to doing a base map, just a parcel outline to start it off. And then we had manpower issues, never have enough money, things cost a lot. Memory was like $2,000 just for like 4K or something. It was ridiculous. And so we started building by scanning 4,000 assessor pages. The surveyor assistant, that's all he did day in, day out, was scanning the pages. We would bring in, we were sold this program called Tracer. It was brand new, developed by two Russians. And it was our kick, as satire Russian stuff is. We put it in, you're supposed to be able to pick a line, and I'm supposed to trace all your scan line work for you and be done within 10 seconds. The problem was sensor pages, some of the circles would bleed in, or some of the lettering for the bearings and distance would bleed into the line work of the old pins. So if the tracer would go up and start going onto the lettering or onto the circle, and so it didn't work. But we, again, were having issues about that, the time constraint. And then we had to, so we abandoned the whole thing. We went down to one layer. I programmed I programmed the AutoCAD to one layer, and that someone who never saw a computer could actually start copying over the line work. That's where we were down to. We weren't toggling in the bearing and distance. We had these scanned pages we brought on the screen, and we actually just had the person going point, 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 point around to create the parcels. And the problem with that was we had no manpower to do it. So what did we do? And no money for manpower. So what did we do? We got the RLP program out of the high schools, and on a rotational basis, we had either one or two students coming in. Our elections department brought in a technician and rotated them in about once every month. They never sat down in front of a computer in their lives. The next day, I had them drafting. I had that constraint that day. It's all they could do. And because of that, we actually got the project going here. So, edge matching the assessor page was an issue. Because we got the assessor page, I would put in AutoCAD, I would take the COGO digital format of the assessor page, and I would try to fit them together as best I could. These were pages that, you know, were from beginning of time to their many different cadastral drafters. We had issues of misscaling. We had issues of one whole section was missing, we found out. It was a ranch down the Latrobe, so no one would ever notice it because it still hasn't been split up today. But we actually didn't have an assessor page for that section. And we didn't find that out until we started putting the pages together. Because as you could see, and you guys know, assessor pages look just like this one, and you don't know what's around it. until you put it together and try to, and they don't fit. So, so this was some of the examples of edge matching assessor pages. These are printed out straight out of AutoCAD on our nice felt tip pen plotters. Instead of, you know, this map here took 8 hours to plot. Yeah, because it was color, you know, I keep changing the circular thing. It's funny now, but as you can see here, this was just bringing in the assessor pages, how they were drawn, and we had gaps. These are the books put together, and not just pages. These aren't just the pages, these are the actual books once the pages have been put together. I put the pages together in a book, and then I tried to put the book together. And so you had these gaps here, here. Over here was really nice. This is half of El Dorado Hills was overlapping the other half to be fitting up with this part. And down here also. In the early stages of workstation on Esri products, it was not easy getting that to edge match, but I'll be going on that in a second. We didn't know this had training. It wasn't until August we were sent down to Los Angeles to Redlands to do it. ESRI training on workstation for the very first time. We had just gotten our workstations, and this is 3 months into the project. Mm-hmm. And so then we finally got training on that. Then we had, we would bring the books into workstation, and I would try to we had tiles. We had put the books together into tiles, and what we called tiles because AutoCAD, again, could not have enough memory at the time to do the whole county. So we split the county up into 10 tiles, and these were combinations of different assessor books. And so then we ran tile into workstation, and then we would massage it together as best we could. And best as we could, as in ESRA software at that time was taking arrows from this corner supposed to go over here, this corner supposed to go over here, this corner supposed to go over here. We basically had hit every single vertex to make it go smoothly at the time. Well, you didn't. So, and then when you move stuff, the program, sometimes we call them duck polygons because they would be cul-de-sacs, and all of a sudden the cul-de-sac would go tink, and like that, like a beak. And so we had, when we saw those, we got rid of those arcs, and we just, again, hand, we didn't do it by a curve, we hand did it. So that's why we could never put any dimensioning on our base map, which the assessor's office still hates. And then we had to put a label point and build topology, it's called topology, on the base map and workstation. And we had to enter a unique identifier into eventually 98,000 parcels. And then you assign an APN number to that point, that poly ID. And once that happened, we could join all the property information to the base map. And then we had to deal with new unassessed polygons. These were road polygons. These were the federal lands that never had an APN number assigned to them up in the wilderness. And how did we deal with that? These were pathways and walkways that the assessor's office never put APN number on because they don't assess them. You know, you had all assessor pages individually, one side of the street to the other side of the street. Well, when you put them together, there's now a polygon that the road creates. So how did we do that and still assign an APN number? We cheated. We knew there's no books going to be starting off with 700 series, so pathways and horse trails, things like that, were numbered 770000. Federal lands or unassessed polygons were 88000. Now we put 88 in the poly ID number, so they're uniquely, they're more unique now. And for Rose, we did 99000, and that's how we got away with it. Again, we had memory issues. It was, I think we started out with 8 kilobytes or 16 kilobytes. Plotting issues, I already mentioned, they were filled tip and carousels that would go around, and you get almost done with the map, and it'd be so much filled tip wet ink, water, and it would rip through the paper. 6 hours into the plot. So I've gone through all of that. This is the quality of our first few maps. There was no shading. There was no color. And you had to do by, this is all by a pattern, either diagonal or horizontal or crisscross. That was about all your options you had, maybe some crosses. So this is fill tip. This is showing the Sacramento to Quest, Shingle Springs, Cameron Park area. And this is how it looked 22 years ago. If you look at it today, this is all subdivision right now. Okay, so now we have to sell our product. We got it started going. Selling product, first we had to sell it to the Board of Supervisors, because not only did we only have a year to do this, but halfway into it, we had a budget crunch, a major budget crunch. My position officially was going to be eliminated. The three IT people's positions were gone at the end of June. And so we had to disperse, or else we were out of job. And then we had to sell to other departments, to the public, and then we had some other early success, but I'll come back to that. This was our first presentation back to the board. It's funny, it was just almost exactly 22 years ago. It was on the 20th of August instead of today, but we had a total of 2 books, assessor books done, about 36 pages and 500 parcels. That's the whole process of scanning, the AutoCAD, the copying over, the AutoCAD, putting into workstation, assigning an AP, poly ID, and assessment quality, assessment number.
And how long had you been working on it by that time?
We started in June 1st, and so that would be 2.5 months.
2.5 months, 2 books?
Yeah, and we only had until June to get 4,000 pages and 98 books. So this actually is just south of Placerville and in Diamond Springs. This is Missouri Flat, Missouri Flat Road through here. Or Pleasant Valley Road, I'm sorry. It's awful, I know this stuff, I've just seen it. I've done it way too long. So then we went back to the board in December for a second update. We've gone a lot farther. This is Placerville area all the way to Sacramento. This is about a third of our parcels. This is around 33,000 parcels have been completed. What this map is showing is fire districts in that area. So we were able to go to the board. Not only did we just have APN information assigned to a polygon, we now were able to show we can identify fire departments, we could identify water districts, we could start, we were building different layers and different information just off of this. And they were impressed. They wanted to grant the department at that moment, except there was a slight conflict, political conflict. Assessor was terribly upset with the surveyor, because I was the third employee that the surveyor had stolen. So he didn't know I wasn't coming back. He didn't know we didn't have any intentions of coming back. So he was upset. His board of supervisor buddy delayed, who was the head of the board at the time, delayed the approval until June. So we still didn't know we were going to be have a job until June. But they finally, they finally approved us, and we still stuck with the same original team, except we lost the, there was a conflict that we lost the DOT engineer, but we gained a year into the project, or second year into the project, we gained a person from vector control, no mapping experience at all, but he had an injury and we picked him up, and he started doing a lot of our mapping projects, the resulting stuff, and he learned very quickly, and he's still with us today. Then we had to sell our product to the other departments. It was really challenging for me personally because my department did not support it. The assessors were being told they had GIS already, and they had a company that would scan the pages periodically, assessor pages, and then tie data to a parcel on that page. But you could only bring that page up. You couldn't go through what's the next parcel next door to it. You still had all different scales. People who needed to find 500-foot radius to contact for permits and stuff had to try to up and down scale pages and tape them together. And so they didn't really have a GIS. And it wasn't for, there were two assessors who were against it. Then we finally got an assessor who was for GIS, and then Carl. And both of them finally changed the attitude of the office, and we finally are working. Julie was hired, and we were working very closely now with the assessor's office, and you would never know there was ever a conflict. Other departments just didn't know what we did. They didn't know how we could be helpful. Now they can't stop using it. So we had that. And then we had the public. We would actually go on road shows to take our big, huge workstation monitors and do a daisy loop through the three of them, and come in our cars, drive to school districts, drive to business development conferences, set it all up, and try to show them that we had this new electronic map, that they could get all this information. The earliest successes were the school districts. We got very lucky. We had this person who was in a master's program dealing with school districts. She heard about our product. She sold it on her own to all the school districts. We started making maps for their school district boundaries, their attendance boundaries. They had no idea where their boundaries were. And there was a big conflict down in Eldorado Hills. There was a big difference between the two school districts that represented that area at the time as far as quality of teaching and stuff. And there was one time where there was a boundary line change, and I was the one put in the middle of it because I knew the history, and people were actually selling their houses before they were moving into new subdivisions because they were in the wrong school district and wanted to know what happened. So school districts used this very much. Title companies started using this. We actually would put the title company logo up on the map. We would do all the configurations. It was showing future projects and current projects that weren't fully developed yet, how many vacant properties versus properties that had building permits on them. So they were showing the growth of the county. That ended about 12, 15 years ago. They were told they couldn't use this because they were being an unfair advantage and between the other title companies. So we no longer do any title company maps. Fire districts also have used this to find their boundaries, their response times. With all the fires, we do, CDF does most of their mapping now, but the beginning few years, we were mapping the fire spread, and we immediately can identify which properties have homes and which ones not. We're going to go look for victims. And then the one up here in Tahoe, we helped the assessor's office with the same, the property values that were assigned to those properties and everything. You could pull it up on your screen with the insurance companies. So we have come a long way. Our expansion is always client driven, mainly board supervisors, but then anybody in the public can come in and order a map. We would develop the layers as the maps were, because we had a very limited staff, we only had 5 people, and we've never grown in the 22 years, except one person. So we started creating Timberrite coverages. We're still working in Workstation at this time, at that time. So you had a separate base map for timber rights, mineral rights, lakes and rivers. We used the USGS digital files, contours of USGS, and then we got departments to help pay for aerials. And then we, the planning departments used us, and we developed their land use and their zoning maps for them. Then we, like I said, we did map production. Any kind of map that public wants, we'll create and charge them. We were using Ginch maps for roads until 1997, and then we got some Trimble unit, and we had one of our GIS analysts go and drive every single roadway in the county. Still does today, and it took 4 years to do the whole county. So our roads are GPS on our road layer. And since that was done, addressing became an issue. This county, we had multiple streets with the same name here up in Tahoe as it was down the western slope. And so we uniformed it to be that there's only one road still in the county now. Addressing was all mixed up. The ranges were, you'd have a house here of 200, 300, 400, back to 500 on the opposite side of the street. It was all messed up, so we, because of GIS and the GPS roads, we now have gone through our whole addressing and all the address. We made people change their addresses. They didn't like that. we have made some street names politically correct from the 1800s, and different things like that. So we do site stressing now is tied into the GIS and our property, or our permitting department. And so it starts in the surveyor's office now. Back in 2000, I was given the notification that we had originally decided to stick with the NAD 27 because all the surveyors in our county don't know how to map in NAD 83. They were old timers, they didn't want to change. The maps still to this day come in at NAD 27, and I have to move them to NAD 83. But I had one other GIS analyst besides me. We rebuilt the whole base map in a year. Moving it to NAD 83 coordinates. You can't just say, okay, change it and go here. We had to actually, at the time, the software was having a program where we had to rebuild it, put it in the right coordinates, and then drag the label points, because we didn't want to have to identify all the APN numbers again and everything like that. So we got it done. Then in 2001, I was told that TRPA, the Tahoe Regional Planning Association, had hired a consultant to map out this whole area off of aerials and supposedly surveyed, and I was supposed to use it. So I had to take that one third of our base map out, plug it back in, put all the correct label points in again, and then I found out that it wasn't matching up with the assessor pages. They made every polygon a rectangle, because most of the property around here are 40 by 100 lots. And it's rectangular lots from the 40s. And on the curves, they had given given to the county, you know, the 20-foot curve on a corner, but they had drawn it as a rectangle still. So I had to go in and individually look at 36,000 polygons to redraw it the way it was today. And so it wasn't really helping much. Then about 5 years ago, because until 5 years ago, we were still using coverages, and we went to shape files. And I hated shapefiles. I still hate shapefiles. coverages were nice because coverages, you had one line segment and it had a connect. There were no slivers, what we call slivers, little tiny fractional gaps in between curves and stuff. Shapefiles are a polygon compiled on top of each other. It's not one layer. You can have them stacked on top, which is great. It's really been a basement. Great. But it doesn't indicate where slivers are. And what happens is if you take it out and build union it to another layer, like a county outline, you would all of a sudden get these new rows in your database, and they would be slivers. And you had to get rid of them, or else you'd have issues with your data, especially ours, because we have a unique index that every polygon has to have a unique poly ID number. So those rows would crash our system because they would have all be zero for poly ID, for instance. So I have to make sure those slivers are out every time I bring in a new update. But I found a way, finally. It took me a while, but we now can, we've gone to creating feature classes and views in SDE, and which we were able to use data tables and coding on our base map, which is called PolyCommon. From PolyCommon, you can make about over 100 different layers. And before we had a layer for mineral rights, a layer for timber rights, grazing rights, and parcel base. Now it's all on top of each other, including multiple floors, including for apartment complexes or condo complexes. So we refer to them as above ground and below ground polygons, but they're all on top. Plus, we have a history now. With coverages, once you made a change, that was it. And you have to try to recover an old tape off the computer to get the history. Now I just stop date it, and you can see, we can pull out by the date range what the parcel base looked at that time. So you can see history now. I'll go through the update procedure, and then, like I was saying, we have two feature classes. One's called PolyCommon, which is the parcel base, and another one is bounded space, which is the TRA primary and secondary. From those two feature classes, we can get, for bounded space, we can do all jurisdictions, school districts, fire districts, CSDs, everything comes out of that one base map.
Can you explain bounded space? It's such a weird name.
Yeah, I didn't pick it.
No.
I know. Mappers did. Bounded space just means it's a polygon that is bounding a space. And that's why, because it's a jurisdiction, so a tax rate area. So you got primary and secondary space theoretically out there. It's not bounded.
Community service district.
Well, that comes based off the TRA. And yeah, you got CSAs, all these jurisdictions that don't really have a legal description of the school districts. But they're all based off TRAs. So we've got different tables. One's called a service table, and we have identified a link to all the different jurisdictions, what the service they provide, and to that polygon. So we can filter out all the different codes to pull out which map you want. And I just redrew or reprogrammed all 80 views in the last 4 days because we're moving from SDE to SQL, or moving from DB2 to SQL Server now. Per PolyCommon, we have three base maps for three different purposes. I use a total of 15 different Python scripts to pull out the information and tie different tables together to create what's curb parcel, curb record, and CU planning requests. So what that stands for is curb parcel is the current polygons of the assessor's role. That's including mobile homes, that's including administrative parcels, and all that, if there's an APN number assigned to the parcel, we have it on that layer, and it looks like the assessor's page. Cur record is the current record polygons. Record, we used to call them legal parcels, but we now call them record for recorded. So that does not have things like mobile homes. It doesn't have any administrative polygons. So like the TRA split polygon, say it's just a rectangle with a diagonal TRA split, so you have two triangles. On cur parcel, you would have the two triangles. On cur record, you would have just the one square, because that's the legal or recorded description. And we have codes that we can go back and forth to search. You pick one polygon, if it's an admin polygon, all the related polygons will, of the record shape, will show up. And curb planning requests, see your planning requests there? That is a request for the planning department. That's their base map, what they like. They don't care about mobile homes, but they want to see the history of my updates, what created the updates. And so that parcel base goes to planning, and they do their zoning and land use off of that base. They develop that. GotNet, I'll probably, GotNet is a weird name. Tell you how we got it. It's an online application. You can go to that link there, or to the surveyor's homepage on our county and get to it from there. It is, I'm not part of that, so I, but it is similar to what Julie was showing you with her application. It is the county. You can search on APNs, you can click on APNs, you can do area range, so you get addressing information for like 500 foot radius maps. You can get all the jurisdictions, land use, zoning, any public information you will want is now available online, but parcel specific, and you can print from it. Map library, I maintain, it's all of our maps that are public that we've generated. There's a 3-year life cycle, so if you came in and you wanted a map of something, you could go back online and not come in and have us charge you to replot it. You can go online and see the PDF and replot it yourself and things like that. They're up there for 3 years and then I take them off. And it's a rotational thing where I'm adding and taking off all the time. So this is the last 3 years of maps we've done, including like our fires and stuff like that, which a lot of people find interesting. Currently, we're migrating to SQL server from a DB2 server. This was a long time battle between IT department and planning department with how we started out. And we started out because our manager is a DB2 person. We were also looking at Oracle when we first started out, but we stuck with DB2. No one else did. But now we're kind of being forced to go SQL because DB2 is not supported anymore by our IT department. So that's been this whole summer. We've been trying to do that. It's not an easy thing to do. We're almost ready to go to production hopefully in the next 2 months. And then we're starting more, once we get this transfer of SQL server done, then we're going to start up again on creating more mobile apps, more apps for phones and things like that to get access to the stuff. Let's start with an update procedure. This is important to you guys because this is how our county does it now. This Julie and I, and this is how she gets her updates now and how everything starts for the county. It's no longer the cadastral drafter in the assessor's office drawing the map from a recorded map by hand, and then things get started. This is doing it electronically first in the surveyor's office that Julie then gets. The documents recorded, the surveyor's office provides me or my position with a hard copy of the recorded document as soon as it's recorded, so I get the year and the doc number and the recorded date. And they give me an electronic DXF AutoCAD drawing of the map that was recorded. We've gotten them because driven by planning department, which is now community development agency, wanting to know subdivisions coming ahead of time and projects. So now we're getting, last spring I created a layer that now shows every outline of every subdivision that was ever recorded in the county. So now you can overlay that on. So from book A all the way, book A all the way up, now you can go back and see where subdivisions were originally and how it's been split through the years. So we have current recorded subdivisions and future subdivisions. Some that may never be recorded but we know about. And we're now getting the surveyor's office, once they know the map's not going to change, they'll give me the DXF file ahead of time. I can get it all positioned in the base map, so the day it's recorded, I can just drop it in. And Julie gets the DXF file also, so she can plan ahead, like where she wants to split pages and stuff like that. But I have to split road polygons, then I know that ahead of time. So that's how we're speeding up the process. So they give me a DXF formatted file. I then go and log it into an Excel file, not an Access file. That's called Work Progress. This was a way for Julie and I to communicate status of a job when it's recorded. When I made an AutoCAD file, I put it into PolyCommon. It needs new APNs or not, and then assignments, and then when she's put the APNs on. So it's a workflow type thing. This is what it looks like. Again, it's the file, a doc number, a record survey, the day it was recorded, assessor book and page, the date I did AutoCAD, positioning of it, put into our base map, and if it needs an APN or not. She has assigned APN or not, and her notations, if there's a title problem or something like that, and it hasn't been finished. We log it into a new table that's been developed. This table was developed 10 years ago. That work progress was developed 10 years ago. About 5 years ago, update status was generated because of SDE. And we were just talking yesterday, and we're probably going to get rid of work progress because of some redundancy now. But this table, we assign a work reference number. It's a recorded date, a recorded documentation. This is a code of what type of recorded document it was. Attends the subdivision 11s, parcel map and 12s or record survey, the book, the page. This has 18 is a, I have to go to the other thing. I don't know them all, believe it or not. Assessment page, assessment book, if I done a DXF file on AutoCAD, if I put it in the base map, and again, if she's assigned the APNs and stuff like that. So we're going to go with this one because there's a column here that planning has just asked us to do, and that explains the new net number of lots, either positively or negative. So if you get two parcels and a parcel map comes through and reconfigures them to three, that's a net of one. So now they can keep track of how many polygons or supervisors have found this out. Now they're real interested that we're starting to keep all this for new parcels up and down. So how the growth of the county considerations income, you know. So then once I get the DXF file and I go into my NXD file, which is ArcGIS for those, I'm not assuming anything here. That has my feature class of polygon common. Then I select all the polygons that are affected, that are current polygons that are affected by this new map that was recorded. That's the, like, in the instance of the parcel map, the two lots, those two lots plus all the surrounding polygons of it, because the lines will change. And then I export it into a shape file on my computer. So this is what, this is actually Pauline Common, an area down in El Dorado Hills. And your eyes, there's nothing wrong with your eyes. There's problems with my eyes. I'm on four lenses now. But this area right here, this is our history now. This is showing where parcels have been moved based off recorded documents or that we got an aerial that shows that those were not in the right spot. You have to realize our parcel base isn't tied down to any coordinate at all. When we started out, we took the pages together. The only thing I had to go on was Caltrans had just surveyed Highway 50. Well, that's fine and dandy, but highway assessor pages don't have Highway 50 in them. They go up to the easement, but they don't have the road. So I had to try to fit the best we could when we did that. And our areas actually, a lot of areas actually line up really close, surprisingly. And surprisingly, the older the surveys were done, back in the 1800s, the more accurate they are. And which is an interesting little side note. So in Pauline Common, I would select like these two polygons and the polygons that all go around it and pull them out. The ones that are the current ones, the ones that have been stop dated. So here we, in our table, just to give you an idea that for every polygon that I go in, I have to update all this information. We have a poly ID that I assigned. Then we have a description code. Is it a legal parcel? Is it an admin? What type of admin? There's different tables I'll show you later. The reason, a 7 is a redraw, or that Ernie complains that it's not accurate enough and I have to redraw it. And 5 are deeds or recorded. And and then the source document is a regular survey or those kind of codes. Subcode is a deed and it's a public accusation or county accusation.
Acquisitions.
Thank you. And then the type of class, this is where we identify whether it's a mineral right or polygon or transportation line or transmission line segment or what type of polygon it is. That's how we can pull out mineral rights and we can pull out grazing rights and stuff like that with this coding. Assessment poly ID is it's going to a table that is where Julie actually assigns the APN numbers. And so that goes with, we get the APN from that ID there. Record polygon ID again is just a unique identifier for the recorded information. That's how we can select on one polygon and get all the selected admin polygons together. And then the documentation, when something was recorded, what year is document number, lot number, the work reference number, and go from there. So then I get my DXF, I remove all the different layers, and I just strip it down to the parcel outline itself, get rid of all the road lines, get rid of all the lot information, all that. We don't need it for us. And then I go in and I move the DXF file to fit in those polygons the best I can, way I can, and save it. And then, so this is kind of the blue polygons are the original polygons out of Pauline Common. The yellow with the, I do keep the distance and the lot number and acreage for Julie on the DXF file so the assessor's office can pull that off of that DXF. So I fit this where the best I can. I'm trying to speed up here for you guys. So then I have to then go back in and take care of slivers. So I reopen up that DXF file and just strip everything off of it and all the surrounding, these four were just update These are the surrounding polygons that actually touch a corner or side of the polygon. So I make sure they join together. In AutoCAD, it's easier. You have to have only one line segment, and I have to take out so there's no slivers. I have to make sure there's only one here, because if there's two lines here and it comes into Esri ArcMap project, it'll actually bend it and put a label point in and create a sliver. So once it's set, it's ready to go into PolyCommon, and so this is where it looks like now, and this is in my MXD file. The blue is that AutoCAD file that was all yellow that you just saw. I brought it into ArcMap and I built it into a shape file before I did this step. And then I bring it in on the background just as reference. I go into ArcCatalog. I do versioning, type editing. This is a version of our PolyCommon. I load the new shape file of these polygons into that version. And then I have new rows down here that I have to type in all the information. And then I need to make sure there's no polygons that have a poly ID of 0 when I'm done. And these are some of the tables and codes so we can pull out the different information. You have, and this is the poly code lid. You have the reason. These are descriptions, so it's record admin or no record description, like a mobile home. The mobile home park owner just gave a sketch to the appraiser, and that's where I get the reason for an update, whether it's the original design or record document, admin, or drafting correction. Sources are deeds, subdivisions, aerials, illustrations, parcel change request, State Board of Equalization. And then we have quality, whether it's from the scan, original scan pages, electronic file, which is what we call COGO. Our COGO means that I try to hold those lines when I make the new update, and that we have a DXF file history of it somewhere that we could bring it up if we need to see what was coded. Anytime I make an update, no matter if it's coded or not, especially if we have segments that are under 6 inches long, Esri's product will eliminate that line work. So we have that issue sometimes, so that's why you can't survey off of it. We have the different classifications of here, where it's rice, mineral rice, timber rice, whether it's a road polygon, mobile homes, multiple floors, transmission lines, ditches. The railroad is the railroad corridor from Sacramento all the way up to Placerville. It actually goes a little farther to Camino. And then we have the different coding here, whether it's a condo, and this is a deed with a judgment, that type of stuff. So we can pull all these codes out and get all these different types of layers from just one feature class layer. And so once it's all done, I go to the assessment poly ID table, or assessment cross-reference table, and put in the new assessment poly IDs. And I let Julie know that it's done based off updating the update status and work progress tables, and then she goes into the assessment poly cross-reference table and assigns the new APNs. So it's a rush through the update process. And we do this all with the same staff almost exactly 22 years ago, and because of budget concerns. And that's it.